Second Chronicles chapter 14 as we continue through these kings of, who knows, Israel, Judah, maybe both, I don't know, but for tonight, Judah. Second Chronicles chapter 14. Going to begin reading in verse 1. And we'll read down to verse 15. So we'll read responsively. Let's stand if you're able to stand. And see if we can't find out what the Lord wants us to learn tonight from His Word. Second Chronicles 14, 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. Amen. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000, mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Let's read the next two verses of chapter 15. I'll read the first one, and you read the second. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you.
Amen.
It's a great truth.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I do pray as I preach the message that I believe you've led me to preach tonight, that you please help me, fill me afresh and anew with thy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Just reading those passages tonight, boy, they are so powerful. And Lord, may they speak to our hearts this evening. Give us all ears to hear. We do ask if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, that they'd get saved this evening. But for those of us that do know you, Lord, that we'd understand what we're learning here from the passages that we just read a few moments ago. Bless the message. Use it to bring honor and glory to thyself. Well, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When I was growing up, one of the treats that my mother did for us as children. How many remember some of the treats that your mom did, right, or your dad did, your mom? This was my mom. Of course, my mom was French. She grew up in France. She was one of those war brides, kind of, if you will. Came to this country at the age of 26. Couldn't speak a word of English when she came. How her and my dad got married, well, through a friend, and then talking back and forth and so forth. At any rate, let me jump forward to here we are now as a family. And there were four of us, three boys, and one girl. I'm the youngest boy, so two older brothers, my sister and me. And one of the things that she did, of course, she brought this over from France, and she did this quite often for us, was that she loved to make us crepes. Crepes. I mean, a French lady making crepes is pretty awesome, you know. And they were absolutely delicious. And sometimes when we were growing up, we did this kind of as a treat. Sometimes we actually did it as a meal because it was just something fun to do. And she would make these crepes up in a stack. She'd stack them on a plate. I'm not kidding you. Probably about 10 inches high. She'd make them. She'd sprinkle sugar in between each of them. And they would be there in the center of the table, of course. And we would roll them up and just eat them. And man, they were good. Amen. They were really good. Now, crepes are basically flour, milk, eggs, and oil. That's it. Maybe a little bit more, but if I remember right, now I know some of you ladies are, no, you forgot this, and all right, whatever. But they're simple, that's my point. Salt, okay, there you go. You heat the pan, and you cook them. Now, every time my mother made them, they came out, at least the way I remember it, exactly the same. They were just good, and they looked the same. The texture was the same. The taste was the same, and so forth. And man, like I said, they were wonderful. Amen. So with that memory in mind, of course, there were times, rare times, early on, and when my kids were young, maybe once or twice I did this. I thought it'd be a good idea to do the same. My wife has done that as well. But I'm talking about the times that I tried to make them. And when I tried to make them, they never turned out the same. They never did. They never tasted like hers. Now, I'm thinking this cannot be that difficult. I mean, I have the ingredients, but there's some. And I figured out why they didn't come out the same. Here's why. I did not follow the recipe exactly right. Something along the way was off. Could have been the pan was not hot enough or too hot or a little too much, whatever it was. And even if I had the ingredients right, the proportions would be off. And so what should have been delicious, at least in my mind, ended up being often, I'll just say, a sticky mess. Now, the Christian life, it's kind of the same way. Here's what I mean. I would say all of us, at least if we're in our right mind, would say, I want a certain product. I want God's blessings. Do you? How many want God's blessings? Honestly, we do, right? I want God's blessings. I want to be strong spiritually.
Amen.
I want to produce fruit in my life. I want to be used of God. And I think all of us, I hope all of us, feel the same way.
Amen.
And guess what? We have to follow God's recipe.
Amen.
Because if we don't, we won't be strong.
Right.
We won't produce fruit. Now, I feel in our text, and you read it with me throughout the text, and also particularly chapter 15 and verse 2, we find God's recipe.
Amen.
And I think at the beginning of this person, Asa's life here, we find God's recipe and the ingredients as well. Now, tonight what I'd like to do, I'm going to continue forward here through the kings of Judah. And we've now come to the southern kingdom of Judah's third king, a man by the name of King Asa. Now, just to review, it was in 975 BC, after the reigns of King Saul for 40 years, then King David for 40 years, then King Solomon for 40 years. After the death of Solomon, we know what happened. The kingdom split into two separate, or should I say the nation split, into two separate distinct kingdoms. By the way, it would remain that way for the next 253 years until the Assyrian captivity of the north, and the south would continue another 136 years after that until the Babylonian captivity. But for now, the kingdom is split. Now, when they split, we know what happened. There became the northern kingdom of Israel, with 10 tribes. Their capital city was in at the beginning in Shechem, then it got moved to Tirzah, and then eventually to Samaria, and would remain there until the end of the northern kingdom. And their first king, we know, was King Jeroboam. Then you have the southern kingdom, of course, with their two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. He mentions them here in the text. And their capital city there was in Jerusalem. And their first king was King Rehoboam. So let's talk about that here for a moment. In the north, King Rehoboam, after the split, reigned for 22 years. He would be a bad king. He led the northern kingdom immediately into idolatry, setting up golden calves in two places, in Bethel and Dan, building fortified cities to stop the people from the north going down to the south, to keep them there so their hearts wouldn't turn to the southern kingdom of Judah, and they would return following that. And so he did that, and this path would continue for the next 253 years. In the south, King Rehoboam, he was a bad king, too. He reigned for 17 years. Now, he did not make two golden calves, no, but he was just as displeasing to the Lord, if not more than the actions of Jeroboam. Turn back, if you would. Hold your hand here. Go to 1 Kings chapter 14, real quick. 1 Kings chapter 14. Because sometimes we think, well, Jeroboam was bad, but Rehoboam was good. No, he wasn't. Rehoboam was bad as well. Notice 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 22. After Rehoboam in verse 21 becomes king. Notice, and Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed. Notice, above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So my point is this, going back to 2 Chronicles, Rehoboam was one of Judah's bad, and when I say bad, I mean ungodly kings. So after Rehoboam's death, his son, we know, I dealt with him last week, Abijah, or also known as Abijam, reigned in his stead. Now when Abijah becomes king, in the north, Jeroboam is still on the throne, and will be for two more years. But Abijah takes the throne after Rehoboam, as Judah's second king, and he would reign for only 3 short years, and he was no better than his father Rehoboam. He was a bad king as well, for we read in 1 Kings 15:3, and he, Abijah, walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and as the heart of David his father. So again, number two, Abijah was also considered one of Judah's bad, ungodly kings. And after 3 short years on the throne, we don't know exactly how he died, but after 3, the Bible doesn't tell us, after 3 short years, Abijah dies. Now when Abijah dies, here we come in chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 14, we find that his son, again, there's Rehoboam, Abijah, and then now is Asa, and Asa becomes Judah's third king. Now King Asa would reign for the next 41 years. Rehoboam, 17 years, Abijah, 3 years, and now Asa, 41 years. Boy, what a long reign. But King Asa, what we find here, as we were reading here, at least at the beginning, he chose a different path than his father did and that his grandfather did. We find that Asa chose, and I'll get into this a little bit more later, Asa chose to live for God. Amen. And honor God's word. So King Asa here is the first of only 8 kings that are considered godly, that chose to live for God in the southern kingdom of Judah. The others would be Joash and Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Now, although he's not perfect, and none of them were, as a matter of fact, we're going to find out he doesn't end real well here, he is considered to be one of Judah's, I'll put it this way, good apples. He's a good guy, particularly here at the beginning. Now we find the biblical record of Asa's life in two places. We find it here in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and it goes into chapter 15, and it goes into chapter 16 as well. We find him dying at the end of chapter 16, but we also find the account of his life in 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 9 to 24. Now there are basically five events that the Bible chronicles in the life of Asa in his reign. Here they are. Number one, we find the good, this isn't your outline by the way. Number one, we find the good things that Asa did. He did some good things. Those are the things we're going to look at here in a moment. In the first 10 years of his 41 year reign, we find Asa doing some really good things. The second event that the Bible chronicles is an attack on Judah by a huge, and that's what we read tonight, by a huge Ethiopian army. We see this attack, we see Asa's godly response, and we see the faith that he displayed. This likely occurred in the 11th year of his reign. The third thing that the Bible chronicles is God's blessings of peace and, I believe, revival that resulted from Asa's faith. This took place from the 11th year of his reign all the way to the 35th year. So you have the first 10 years of good stuff. In his 11th year, you have the attack of the Ethiopians, which he does well. Then we see a lot of good things of the revival that took place. Then in his 36th year, we will see that here a little bit later, we find that he is attacked once again, this time not by the Ethiopians, but by the northern kingdom of Israel. Now that time, this time, he is not going to respond well. As a matter of fact, he will have an ungodly response to the attack and also to the prophet of God that God sends his way. And we'll get into that a little bit later on as we get into this little series on him, if you will. And then the last thing we find the Bible recording of his life is God diseases him. He comes down with this awful disease. He has a sad ending and death after 41 years of reign. So notice the sections of his life. 10 years of good things he did, the attack from the Ethiopians that went well because of his faith, God's blessings for many years, the attack from Israel that he did not respond to well, and the preacher as well, and then his disease because of it, and sad ending. So, I plan on preaching several sermons, God willing, on the life of Asa. But tonight, I want to start out by looking at this little section of his life and see what we learn from it. And I think it's important to see something that the prophet Azariah said that I think really is a great principle and was intended to be a help to Asa as well. We kind of amen when we read it. Notice chapter 15 and verse 2, right there in the middle of it. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah, and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Can I put it this way by application? Hear ye, O Church, Capital Baptist. Amen. The Lord is with us. Amen. While we be with him. If we seek him, he will be found of us. But if we forsake him, he will forsake you. You know what that is? The recipe for crepes.
Amen.
There it is. The recipe for God's blessings.
Amen.
Simple, is it not?
Praise
the Lord. Why do we make it so hard? Tonight I want to preach on this subject, kind of a different title. And it's this is the title. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult.
Amen.
You know, over the years that I've tried to be minister to people as their pastor and try to help people, I've come across people that really truly believe that living the Christian life is so hard. It's just so hard. Oh, preacher, it's so difficult. No, it's not.
Amen.
It's really not. As a matter of fact, it's pretty simple. Here's the problem. We make it difficult.
Amen.
We make it hard on ourselves. If you and I would simply follow God's recipe, we would be strong Christians. We would be blessed of life, of God. We would be fruit producers in our life. And Asa's life, again, at least at the beginning here, I believe we find the ingredients that make it easy. We're going to see that tonight. So let's look at, I think we find several, I'll say three ingredients to this godly man's life that's part of the recipe for crepes. Metaphorically. Number one, notice the first ingredient, the belief that King Asa had. Now, the Bible begins, so Abijah slept with his father in verse 1. And they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years, and Asa, notice, did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law of the commandment. Also he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And so here in 2 Chronicles 14, and if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 15, we won't go there, but if you would sometime, we learn some background information about this King Asa. Think about it for a moment. King Asa's father was Abijah,
right,
an ungodly man.
Right.
His grandfather was Rehoboam,
right,
an ungodly man. We find in 1 Kings chapter 15 that his mother, Maacah, who was actually queen at the time, made an idol and worshipped it and placed it in a grove, according to 1 Kings 15:13. The southern kingdom that he had inherited, the southern kingdom of Judah, you heard what was going on. It had sodomites in the land. They had idols throughout all the land. Yet we read something very interesting and important about this man, King Asa. 1 Kings 15:11 says this, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. We read in 1 Kings 15:14, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days.
Amen.
2 Chronicles 14:2. I just read it a moment ago. Notice, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. So how does this happen? How does a man who had a grandfather that was ungodly, who had a father that was ungodly, who had a mother that was ungodly, turn out right for God? I'll tell you how. His beliefs.
Amen.
What he believed.
Amen.
Two things about Asa's beliefs. Number one, the choice that he made. Now think about this. Somewhere along the line, Asa had to make a choice.
Amen.
He had to decide in his own heart, who am I going to follow?
Amen.
What path am I going to take? What direction is my life going to go? Am I going to follow the path of my family? Or am I going to follow the one true and living God? Am I going to continue in the path of sin that everybody else is doing? Or will I follow the path of scriptures? And notice what Asa chose. Asa chose to be a follower of Jehovah God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's a pretty wise choice, if you ask me.
Lord.
And by the way, every one of us has to one day make that decision, at least eventually. Can I ask a young person, who are you going to follow?
Good.
What direction are you going? Well, I'm with my parents. They brought me to church and I got to be here. Okay, I understand that. But what direction of life are you going to choose? Because nobody on this earth can make that decision for you. Only you can make it and only you have to make it. Are you going to follow the path of sin? Or are you going to follow the path of the scriptures? Are you going to follow the path of your ungodly friends? Or are you going to follow the path of God? Which is it going to be? Are you going to go with the Facebook crowd that's living for the world? Or are you going with the crowd that follows this book,
Amen,
the Word of God. Which is it going to be? Which one? By the way, the wise choice is to choose God.
Amen.
And by the way, we don't have any excuse for our choice. We can't say, well, you know, my family background, I just didn't grow up in a Christian home, and we didn't read the Bible, and you know, I don't know the thing. Stop already. Look at Asa. Look at other people. I mean, regardless of your family background, regardless of your circumstances, and look, everybody has a past that we could talk about. We all do. Things happen. Regardless of your past, regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your family background, you can live for God if you choose to. If you choose to. So what's it going to be? What's it going to be? Can I say this? Be a wise person. Choose God. Because you only have one opportunity at life. And when it's over, it's over. And sometimes we can make such a mess by doing our own thing. Things that are irretrievable because we've damaged things so much. Don't do that.
Amen.
Just follow the Lord. Follow His Word. Amen. This was the choice of Asa, as we see, of his beliefs. But then I noticed the confirmation of Asa. Here's what I mean by that. I'm not talking about Catholic confirmation. Here's what I mean. He chose, again, Asa did, verse 2, that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. So notice what he does after this. Watch this. Confirms his beliefs.
Amen.
You see, I can say, well, I believe the Bible. I believe God. I'm a follower of God. Prove it.
Right. Good.
Show me your life.
Amen.
Don't tell me it. Show me it. And I'm talking to myself here, by the way, too. Show me it. Asa did. He didn't just say, yes, I'm going to do right.
Amen.
He lived it. Look what happens here in verse 5. He took away the altars of the strange gods. I won't read it all again because I'm going to go over here in a minute. But understand, what a person truly believes determines how they behave.
Amen.
It dictates what they do with their life. And the proof that Asa made the choice to follow God was displayed in his actions.
Amen.
In what he did. Notice again the things that he did. I'll just summarize them here. He took away the altars of the strange gods. Can you imagine that? He went all around Israel and took those altars down. Had them ripped down, if you will. He took away the high places, those places that people went to worship the false gods. He broke down the images that people made. He cut down the groves. By the way, the groves were these trees that they used to set up for worship. And in 1 Kings 15:12, we read that he took away the Sodomites out of the land. Why is that? Because Sodom is an abomination to God.
Amen.
Oh, I want to stop and stay there for a little bit, but I can't. By the way, sodomy is not a civil right.
Amen.
It's a sinful choice. And we know that because nobody is born that way.
Amen.
Nobody is. It is a sinful choice. It's no more a civil right than adultery is a civil right. It's the same thing. Got to move on. Verse 4. Notice he commands Judah to seek the true and living God. He lives by example. He wants them, commands them to do the law and the commandment. So watch this. This is the first ingredient for God's formula of life. Get your beliefs settled.
Amen.
Get them settled. Can I ask you something? What do you believe tonight?
Good.
I'm not saying what comes from this pulpit. I'm talking about what you believe in your heart. Do you have convictions? Are your convictions based on the Bible?
Good.
Are you just doing whatever? You see, if you and I, if our church, if our nation, if we want God's blessings, we must choose this first ingredient. We must choose, I'm going to be a follower of God and His Word. His Word is going to be my authority and I am going to live by it.
Amen.
It's not going to be just lip service.
Right.
It's going to be a life. It must be backed up by our behavior. Our life must confirm that choice that we say that we've made. So, ingredient number one is the beliefs of King Asa. Then I notice a second ingredient that we find beginning in verse 6, and that is this, the building of Asa. You know, there's a phrase or a word here that's used several times. I'll read it in verse 6. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars. while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought Him, and He hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Notice God repeats a word three times here in that those verses, and that is the word rest. Verse 6, the land had rest. Verse 6 at the end, the Lord had given him rest. Verse 7, and He had given us rest on every side. Verse 6, another phrase indicating the same thing. And He had no war in those years. You see, because of Asa's decision to serve the Lord, God had, for 10 full years, God had blessed them, Asa and the southern kingdom of Judah, with rest, amen, with peace, with no war. But notice something and consider something very important. During this time where there was no war, where there was no battle, what did Asa do? He built. Amen. He didn't rest. Amen. You didn't see him laying around. He wasn't taking it easy. Hey, let's enjoy the good life, everybody. You know, party for everybody. Let's lighten up. Let's let up. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He didn't say that at all. He was busy,
amen,
building. Hey, he used this time to build the people. He used this time to build the nation. They used this time to strengthen themselves, to fortify themselves. Watch this. To prepare themselves for whatever was in the future that would come their way.
Amen.
This is vitally important.
Good.
You know, as long as we're in this world, we ought to be constantly building our lives.
Amen.
Our spiritual lives. Growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Building up ourselves on our most holy faith, according to Jude and verse 20. Strengthening ourselves in the Word of God. Hey, you want to make crates tonight? Have the right beliefs and use the time that you have to be constantly building and building and building yourself and making yourself stronger in the Word of God. You see, there's never a time to stop growing. Never. You never get to the place. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how many times you've read your Bible. I don't care how many degrees you have, how many classes you've taken. There is never a time to stop growing and to stop learning and to stop building. We never get to the place on this earth where we can say, hey, I've arrived. Because we haven't. You see, when we get to heaven, that's when we can stop building because it's all over then.
Right.
But not now. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul had been saved quite a long time there. That was when he wrote to Corinth from Rome. And so he'd been around this thing a long time. But he's saying, no, I need to grow every single day. Do you remember in 2 Timothy where he was about to leave this earth and he was telling Timothy to make sure he sent to him certain things.
Right.
And he said, send me the books and especially the parchments. Yes. Here he is about ready to die, never knowing whether he was going to get out of prison. And he never did, by the way. He would be beheaded shortly after that by the Roman Emperor Nero. Yet he is saying, even in his last days, hey, I want to learn more scripture. I want to know more about the Bible. Give me those books. Bring them here. Get me especially the parchments. I need the Word of God.
Amen.
Is that your attitude?
Good.
Is that mine? You see, if we want to be strong, if we want to produce fruit, if we want to be what God wants us to be,
right,
that's one of the ingredients that we must have. It's not that difficult. Have the right beliefs and continue to build yourself up,
amen,
in the Word of God. Then I notice a third thing, not only the beliefs of King Asa, and then the building of King Asa. Then I see the battling of King Asa. So here we go. Again, 10 years have gone by. Really, I believe it's in the 11th year, in verse 9. After all this was going on, we read in verse 9, "And there came out against them, Judah, Zerah the Ethiopian, with an host of," notice, "a thousand. "And 300 chariots, and came under Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephatha at Maresha." So here it is, after 10 years of peace, where Asa was doing all of these different things, after 10 years of peace, something happens. An Ethiopian army begins to assemble themselves in the valley of Zephatha. Notice it consists of one, if I did my math right, 1 million men. Judah and Benjamin, two tribes, that's it. Now, he had a nice-sized army, but nothing compared to them. 1 million soldiers, 300 chariots, and here they are, assembling there, ready to invade. Asa learns of this. He hears of what's going on. And so what does he do? He sets his men in array, and Asa finds himself here in a great battle. You know, I read that and I wonder, why would God allow that? I mean, they've changed. They've done right. They've gotten rid of a bunch of stuff. He's torn down the altars. Everybody's worshiping God. Everybody's trying to do the right thing. Why is this happening? You ever think that way in your own life? I go to church. I'm faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm trying to raise my family for God. I'm trying to be honest and do the right thing. And why are things happening to me? Because that's one of the ingredients.
Amen.
That God wants to put into your crate.
Thank the Lord.
Notice two things about this battle. Number one, the attack. This attack, watch this, was unprovoked.
Amen.
They didn't do anything wrong. It was unsolicited. We could even say it was unjust. They weren't going after them. They're minding their own business. They're just trying to live for God. And notice also, it was not something that God was using here to chasten Judah. They weren't doing wrong or to get Asa's attention. It was none of that. Watch this. It was merely a battle in the will of God. That's what it was. And Asa stood up to the challenge.
Praise the Lord.
He didn't run. He didn't fight. Fly or hide, I should say. He fought. He did. He fought. He wasn't hiding. He was trying to say, "Oh God, why did you do this?" He fought. Can I remind us tonight that battles, and I think sometimes our flesh doesn't get this, you know? Battles and troubles and difficulties are a God-ordained part of the Christian life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We don't like them, do we?
Right.
I don't like them. You know what? If someone asked me, maybe I come home, just making this up. My wife said, "Did you have a good day?" "I had a good day." You know what that means in my little world? It means I didn't have trouble. I didn't have problems. I didn't have difficulties. That's how I think in my pea brain. But really, that's not God's plan.
Right.
Do you know that God's plan for me and you is trouble?
That's right. Amen.
It is. Jesus said that, right? In the world, you should have tribulation, right? But he's overcome the world. He says you're going to have it. Why? Because of the sin-cursed world. But also, one of the reasons is so God can use those troubles and difficulties
Amen.
To make us stronger.
Praise
Jesus. But my mind is, I had a good day. A bad day is when I have trouble. But really, perhaps I'm thinking about it all wrong. Every day is a good day.
Amen.
And it's good when I respond to whatever day God brings in my life in a biblical way by faith.
Right.
That's it there. And understand something in your life and my life. If we are going to live for God in this world, if we are going to take a stand for the truth, if we are going to attempt to reach souls for Christ, running buses into neighborhoods, knocking on doors, understand it is going to involve battles.
Amen.
Battles. By the way, the world, the flesh, and the devil are our primary adversaries. But understand, battles are not only a part of God's work, They are good for the worker.
Amen.
Hold your hand here. Go over to Judges chapter 3. I want to show you a verse that perhaps we should all mark in our minds. Judges chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice now, these are the nations which the Lord left. Why did he leave? Now, you know where we're at, right? They're in the land, right?
Right.
And there's heathen nations around them. God says, the Bible says, God left them there. Now, for me, I say, Lord, remove them. Take them out. I don't want the problem. Why did he leave them? Watch this. To prove Israel by them. Even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generation of the children of Israel, watch this, might know to teach them war.
Amen.
They needed to learn something.
Right.
They knew they needed, by the way, at least such as before knew nothing thereof. You know what God was doing there? He left them there to teach them to fight. To make them stronger. To make them more useful for Him. You see, understand, it is through the battles, if you and I address those battles correctly, that we get stronger, that we learn how to face the next battle that comes our way, that we're more greatly used of God in our lives. It teaches us how to lean more upon the Lord and to see what God can do in this world. Battles are one of those ingredients that you and I need to be strong.
Amen.
So there's the beliefs we must have. And then there's the battles there as well. And then the building. You know, if you don't want to have any battles, then say nothing,
right.
Do nothing, and be nothing for God. There you go. But I don't think we should be that way.
Amen.
Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say this, the door to the room of success swings on the hinges of opposition. Lester Roloff, you've heard this, used to sing an old gospel song that said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay, he said.
Amen.
He understood it's a battle. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm going through all these battles. Praise the Lord. Face them strong, because you know what? That is one of the ingredients. Do you want to be a strong Christian? Do you want to be a better Christian? Do you want to be greatly used, greater used of God? Guess what? One of those ingredients, the third ingredient, is battle. There's the attack. Then notice his answer, going back to 2 Chronicles. How does Asa respond to this? This is still part of the battle that he's in. 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. Here's the key to the battle. And Asa, verse 11, cried unto the Lord his God. And said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. We lean upon the Lord. What do we do when we go out in this world and people don't like our message? We lean upon the Lord. We don't quit. We keep going for God. What do? We run buses in the neighborhoods and somebody gets upset. Well, we keep going for God. We say, Lord, help us through this. That is the answer. Notice he doesn't run. He doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He doesn't get mad at God. God, why did you bring these people, these Ethiopians against us? We were doing fine. You're a mean old God. No, he's not a mean old God.
Amen.
Part of his plan for me and you
is
to fight the battle.
Right.
And in the battle, lean upon God. Because when we lean upon God, we lunge into the battle by faith. There's the ingredient. So notice what happens when he has these three ingredients. He gets his crepe. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, he has the beliefs, all right. He has his convictions proved by his actions. He's building up. He did that. And he fought the battle. Then God blesses. He brings, look at verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. And the Ethiopians were overthrown. Imagine that. A million man army that they could not recover themselves. For they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. And they carried away very much spoil.
Amen.
And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. So notice, God brings a victory to Asa and Judah. The Ethiopians flee. God gives them not only the soldiers, He also gives them the spoils. It was an incredible time. It was a blessed time in the southern kingdom of Judah. Something that they had not experienced since the days of Solomon.
Right. Amen.
I'll go as far to say as this. It was kind of like a little bit of a revival there.
Praise the Lord.
So, here they are rejoicing in the spoils. And here comes a man. Quietly walking in, looking at everything. His name, notice, Azariah, the son of Oded. I'd imagine he'd say something like this. Hey, can I get everybody's attention? I have to preach something to you all. I know it's a great time. I know you're rejoicing. I know it's a time of revival. I know you're enjoying the victory. You're enjoying the spoils. But I've got to tell you why this happened.
Amen.
So you never forget it. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him.
Amen.
And if ye seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
There it is. The recipe. Right there. So I ask tonight, you want to be strong as a Christian? You want to stand in this world? You want to produce fruit for God in this evil time that we're living in? Well, guess what? You got to mix the recipe right.
Amen.
You have to choose to believe God's word.
Right. Amen.
And that choice has to be displayed not by what you say,
right,
but by how you live.
Amen.
You must be constantly building yourself up in the Word of God, studying, memorizing, doing whatever it takes for you to strengthen yourself, even in times of ease, and then face the battles by faith. Don't try to rid your life of battles. That's a fantasy. That'll never happen. Well, if I just got to the place where the kids would just stop bothering me, or the other people would stop, it's not going to happen. Face it by faith.
Amen.
Trust the Lord, and you're going to find something out. It's not that difficult. You can be a strong Christian.
Amen.
Put in the right ingredients.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.